Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the gospel lesson from John chapter 1, and I'd just like to read verse 41. He, meaning Andrew, first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. This is our text. One of the things that you hear people ask at this time of the year is, "How was your Christmas?" When you see people that you don't encounter very often, that question about Christmas celebrations can go on for weeks. Decorations are taken down, but we like to relive the excitement of the season. When the question gets asked, "How was your Christmas?" you sometimes have to stop and think for a moment. If you want to answer honestly, your answer probably depends a bit on how your expectations for Christmas were realized. This could apply to a Christmas get-together with family, or it could apply to the gifts that you got, or it could apply to a trip that you took over the holidays. We all have great expectations for events like that. If everything went the way that you hoped, then you could say that you had a great time. Of course, you know that things don't always work out the way you hoped. You may not have gotten what you wanted for Christmas. Someone may have gotten sick. Or you might have gotten caught in that wild weather that we've had. Our gospel lesson for today talks about the realization of expectations. As the disciples of John had their first encounter with Jesus, they seemed certain that he was going to live up to their expectations as the Messiah. And as we look at this early event in the ministry of Jesus, may you find yourself excited about what Jesus means to you. May you be ready then to tell someone, "We have found the Messiah." The people of Jesus' day had expectations about the coming of the Messiah. In fact, this had been an important part of the faith and the lives of the people of Israel for centuries. The promise of someone who would come to be the Savior of the world was the foundation of Israel's relationship with God. When John the Baptist began his ministry of preparing the way for the Christ, it was clear to some that the Messiah would be coming very soon. In his preaching, John helped the people to see the purpose for the coming of the Messiah. And then one day, Jesus came to John to be baptized. The baptism of Jesus included some amazing events that showed that John and the others who were there, that Jesus was the Son of God, and also that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came around the next day, John did not hesitate to point him out as the Lamb of God. And with their expectations raised, two of John's disciples began to follow after Jesus to learn more about what their teacher had been telling them. Think about what they had seen and heard. From their youngest days, they no doubt had heard about a Messiah in their local synagogue. Now, this unusual desert preacher and baptizer was pointing out a man in the crowd who was the Son of God. John testified that the signs promised by God had pointed to Jesus. The Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove. He was proclaimed by that voice from heaven to be the Son of God. John called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What more could they need to be convinced that this was finally the promised one? So they decided to see for themselves. They followed Jesus and asked if they could spend some time with him. Now we're told that they spent the rest of the day listening to Jesus. We can only imagine what that day was like. It must have been wonderful. As far as the text tells us, it was just Jesus and those two disciples. One is identified as Andrew. The other was probably John, the writer of the gospel. In the time that they spent with Jesus, they were convinced that John the Baptist was correct. Jesus was truly the Messiah. Their expectations were realized. Now, most people have expectations about God and his promise of a Savior. That statement may sound a little strange. Listen again. Most people today have expectations about God and his promise of a Savior. We know that the Savior came into the world and the world has just celebrated his birth. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? We certainly hope that's what Christmas is about, but in many cases, the birth of the Savior is far from the center of the Christmas celebration. Many people are still looking for a Savior, and I don't just mean the Jews. In our world today, it's become very common for people to think about God on their own terms. God becomes for them a product of their own desires and expectations. Many see God as simply a dispenser of all good things. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the little candy dispensers that shoot out a little candy every time you tip back the head of some cartoon character or whoever it might be. For some people, though, God is nothing more than a giant, great Pez dispenser who is ready to give you whatever you want, whenever you want it. In that kind of thinking, the Savior is one who stands ready to pull you out of any kind of problem that you might have. He's good to have around, but you really don't expect to need him. And as a result of that faulty kind of thinking, many people have some rather unrealistic expectations of Jesus. Their expectations are completely self-centered. What they fail to see is the real reason that Jesus came into the world. Too often people see their needs as purely physical needs. All they think of is life right now. If Jesus can't solve my latest financial problem, or doesn't make all my other problems go away, then what good is he? This kind of self-centered, materialistic thinking is more common than we would like to admit. You don't want to admit it because you know that it's found in each one of you. Your sinful nature wants to hang on to that selfishness that's part of our inherited sinful condition. It doesn't want to admit that there's a real problem that's not going to be fixed by the granting of your earthly wishes. The nature of that deeper problem was the basis of the preaching and ministry of John the Baptist. He called people to repentance. He baptized people for the cleansing of their sin. He pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And there you see the problem. The problem is sin. Sin brings separation from God and eternal death. That's a pretty abstract and hard idea for people to understand. But it's the truth. And you know it when you hear the law of God, whether it's proclaimed to you from God's commandments, or whether you're listening to the voice of your conscience. The law of God condemns us. And when you're honest with yourself and with God, you see that your greatest need is for forgiveness and reconciliation with God. Nothing else in this life matters much without peace with God. That peace comes to you through Jesus, the Lamb of God. He has what you need the most. Through His perfect life, He satisfies God's requirement of perfection. Through His suffering and death, He sacrificed God's requirement that sin be punished by death. By sacrificing His life, He became the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When the Holy Spirit comes to you through the message of the good news, you're given the faith to believe and trust that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one who brings God's pardon and with it a peace that helps you deal with all of life's problems. You can face them and deal with them because you know that the worst problem has already been solved. You've been made right with God through your Savior, Jesus Christ. With the peace that comes from knowing that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus, what can the world do to you? God has promised to provide you with all that you need. And He shows you how He keeps that promise every time you hear the gospel, every time you remember your baptism, and every time you receive the Lord's Supper. Andrew had great news to share, and he shared it with his brother. He had found the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. You too have found the Messiah. He has found you and made you His own through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace, the Word and the sacraments. By that same Spirit's power, you can share the good news with those around you. You can be like Andrew and all the others who went to their friends and family and said, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Savior. Come and see." Amen. And the peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.